In Gaza between Israel and Hamas starts Friday morning, a day later than originally planned. Here's CBS's Natalie Brand.
I'm waiting for news.
Hadass Calderon says her 16-year-old daughter and 12-year-old son were kidnapped during the October 7th Hamas terror attack.
I want just good news. I don't want any bad news anymore.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says as part of the deal, the Red Cross will be allowed to visit the hostages not yet released.
The first group out will include 13 hostages. A former Obama staffer has been arrested for harassing a halal cart worker in New York. WCBS TV's Alice Gaynor has details.
64-year-old Stuart Seldowitz was arrested Wednesday, charged with a hate crime, stalking, and harassment. Police say the former national security official is the one seen in several cell phone videos.
We're going to put big signs here that say this guy believes in Hamas. You're a terrorist.
CBS New York tried repeatedly to get in contact with Seldowitz, who alleged to other news outlets that Hussein said he supported what Hamas did, and that's what got him so upset, a claim Hussein denies.
A bit of disruption today at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade when about half a dozen Palestinian protesters tried to glue themselves to the street in front of a float while wearing fake blood-covered jumpsuits. Otherwise, CBS's Chanel Call tells us the parade was a lot of fun.
There were 25 balloons in all, guided through city streets by hundreds of volunteers.
It's a lot of responsibility to keep the balloons steady. Chance of a lifetime.
Marching bands from around the country join 31 floats at ground level.
And now it's dinner time for thousands of U.S. troops all over the world. Army Private First Class Khalil Hutchinson is stationed in Poland.
Hello, my name is POC Khalil Hutchinson, 11 Charlie, out here in Poland with 1-1 Cav. I just want to wish my family and friends back at home in West Palm Beach, Florida, a happy holidays.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams is getting sued by a woman who claims he sexually assaulted her in 1993. CBS's Jim Krasula.
The three-page court document does not provide details of the alleged assault, but names Adams, the Transit Bureau, the New York Police Department, and the New York Police Department Guardians Association as defendants. A City Hall spokesman says the mayor does not know the person making the accusation and denied the claim.
The FBI is also investigating Adams for alleged corruption. A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving turns 50 today. The Peanuts special first debuted on CBS back in 1973. Today, you can watch it on Apple Plus. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The gun deer season in Wisconsin is heading into its final weekend. A proposed bill in the state legislature aims to curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland is proposing $2 million for carcass disposal sites and $100,000 to teach hunters about the brain wasting disease and why it's important to dispose of carcasses properly. Today's a big day in Greendale. The high school band is marching in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. The Greendale Band is one of just six high school bands from around the country to have the honor this year. It's the second time the Marching Panthers are appearing in the Macy's Parade. The last time was in 2016. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 12 tonight, under mainly clear skies, northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 31 tomorrow. A dusting of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer. Miller
Lite. Why do we have celery? What else can you do with a Dutch oven? Where did the word kitchen even come from? The Kitchen's Open answers these kinds of questions and includes fun history facts around our favorite foods, meals, and family cuisine traditions. Our WFHR team will entertain you each week on Mondays during the 9 o'clock hour on WFHR's morning show with The Kitchen's Open.
They have come up with, well, the inflation, you know, that we're told. It's all Joe Biden's fault, at least, you know, in my neck of the woods, they're blaming Biden for all the inflation problems. Turns out, and I guess shocking, corporate America never enjoying better profits, shareholders lining their pockets like never before. But I know, it's Joe Biden's fault. Yeah. While the wealth class has gotten, well, wealthier, the working class has gotten screwed. And here to share some thoughts on the idea of getting screwed, I've asked our good friend J.D. Scholten to come talk with us. He's a senior advisor at the American Economic Liberties Project. He's a writer and creator of, well, You're Probably Getting Screwed newsletter. You can check out his thing at screwed.substack.com. Also running for State House here in Iowa. J.D., thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
It is great to see you finally in person, and thanks for all the work you've done here in Sioux City to help us grab people and sit down with folks. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. It's an honor to have you guys, and it's great to see you guys in person.
So, surprised? Surprised that the working class, again, getting screwed?
Not at all. You know, we're seeing this pretty consistently with the CEOs having to talk to their shareholders and having to tell the truth in some of these reports saying that, hey, this is an opportunity for us to raise prices on consumers. And it came out this morning that, Kroger's and another grocery store, two of the top five are going to working on merging. You know, that ultimately will hurt our prices at the grocery store. You know, this is all a common theme, and you know, I don't understand why more people, especially more Democrats, aren't talking about antitrust as it works to our economy, because at the end of the day, consumers are getting screwed, workers are getting screwed, shareholders and the CEOs are getting paid.
Yeah, where's today's Teddy Roosevelt? I ask this all the time. Yeah. Where's today's TR? Who's going to be the one who's going to step up and say, we got to start breaking up some of these monopolies? Because in industry after industry, we find three, four companies dominating the industry and then colluding, or let's use a different word since colluding seems to be loaded, cooperating together to raise prices, to line their pockets, and well, screw us.
Well, and in here in Sioux City, we're an immigrant meatpacking town since the 1880s, and we continue to be. And so we see that a lot in agriculture here. We have different forms of monopoly where Sioux City used to be a hub and money used to be coming here, where now it's extracted out. And just this past week, Tyson shipped 500 jobs. And these are the more of the white collared jobs. But IBP used to have a headquarters across the river in North Sioux City, South Dakota. Tyson bought them out in 2001, and now they're moving everybody down to Arkansas. And so for our community, that's over 500 jobs, and that's just direct jobs, not counting the shipping there and all the other stuff that goes into that. And so Sioux City's getting hit hard, and we'll get hit hard here in the next year or two.
So, you know, part of what we're doing on this tour is going to places that, yeah, at one point or another, we viewed as that Mayberry kind of leave it to Beaver community. You think about our grandparents' generation, who built the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization so that they could have better lives, so that they could raise their families on one income. And I know that that's almost impossible today, and for most people, even impossible to imagine that it was ever possible. But we once did that, and then things got bad, and sadly, what the wealth class has said is, well, it's those unions.
Yep.
The unions made things too expensive. So we of course then we had to go and exploit people. They made us exploit people, JD.
Well, here's kind of a little bit of what happened here. When my family moved here in 1984, we moved from Central Iowa here. My dad got the head baseball job at a Division II college here, and what a worker could get at one of these meatpacking plants was 14 to 17 bucks an hour back in the early 80s. Right before the pandemic, guess how much they could get? The same exact price.
Bucks. Yeah. No, I talk about this all the time.
4 decades later.
I talk about this all the time. When I started in the freight industry back in the late 80s, it was 15 bucks an hour. Today, starting that job is like 16.80.
Yeah.
And that's 35 plus years that it just hasn't. Wages haven't gone up, but where has that wealth gone?
Right.
That's the question, because prices keep going up. A gallon of gas was much cheaper back then. I had a much better standard of living 30 years ago, as most of us did. And that's where I think the anger is coming from, because people are working longer and harder to just maintain and not fall further behind.
Exactly. And that's again, where I get frustrated with the Democratic Party is like, this is what we should be talking about consistently, more and more about, because this is what's impacting the majority of the people. You know, when you go out and talk to folks, and that's what when I ran for Congress in 2018 and 2020, you know, you go out there and just talk to them, they're feeling it. And this area has not bounced back since the 2008 economic crisis, let alone with the pandemic and everything. There's just bumps, and we feel, or there's a sense that the money doesn't stay in these communities anymore. They get extracted out. You got Dollar General coming in, undercutting local grocery stores all across Iowa. You have the meat packers, the four main ones, control 85% of the meat market. They're screwing the farmers, they're screwing the consumers, and they're screwing the workers.
So again, I come back to what you just said. You know, why don't the Democrats hone in on this? Because the inflation thing, I mean, the right is beating them over the head. And inflation, it's all Joe Biden's fault. It's Bidenflation. And you go, wait a second, is Biden in every boardroom and every CEO suite across this country where they're making the decisions to raise prices on consumers when they don't have to? Is he in on those meetings? Did he take a day off from learning coding in the basement to steal elections to then go and raise prices too? I mean, for a guy who's Sleepy Joe and not very bright, according to them, he's really effective.
And that's the narrative, the two-pronged narrative they have going on, is he's too sleepy to do anything, and then he's too manipulative to...
he's a wily one, that Joe Biden.
But it is frustrating, and it's, you know... talking to these folks who think that way, just on a pretty regular basis around these parts, it's tough. And our local radio station used to be very normal. Now it's 10 hours of propaganda a day before, and then in the summers they have the local minor league baseball team at night. And it's very frustrating, because I go on these shows and I talk about just what we're talking about right now, how like these corporations are screwing us over, and we all feel it here. And then they want to talk about some what happens in bathrooms or wokeism or anything like that. And at the end of the day, I go, you know, all that stuff, like, what impacts you more on a daily basis? And why aren't you talking? You spent all this time talking about this other stuff, this cultural bullshit. What about the economy, and what's everyone feeling here in Sioux City today? Why aren't you spending more time on that? And it's
and what's the answer? I mean, because I have people who ask the same question, because, you know, I look at, you know, myself, you know, yeah, all of these issues, the transgender issue we dealt with 30 years ago in the workplace.
Yeah.
And I say this all the time. We had a guy, let's call him Ron. Ron was a good worker. Somebody came to work every day. Everybody knew Ron. Ron went away for about 6 months, came back. Ron was Rana. Do you know who cared? Nobody.
Right.
Because she came back, she did her job, she got the same wages, same benefits, same working conditions, same everything, and came, did the job, went home, led her life. Everybody seemed to get along. Everybody right. seemed to, they went home, led their lives. Yeah. It wasn't the end of humanity and the end of civilization. Yeah. And it wasn't Armageddon, and there weren't angry forces going to come and eat us. People just led their lives.
Exactly. Exactly. We got a Casey's gas station right down the street, and you know what? Instead of men's bathroom on the right and women's on the left, let's just have unisex bathrooms on both sides. Problem solved. Like, it's to me, it's an architectural issue.
Yep. No, in the woods, you know, we go hiking. In the woods, there's one bathroom.
Right. There you go.
This doesn't seem to be all, again, yeah, but what, and this is where I come back to, this has to be the way the wealth class operates, yep, because they, if we were focused on how bad they're screwing us,
yeah,
how bad there's, how much they're stealing from us, and the Rand Corporation, you know, did a study not too long ago and kind of put a number, $100 trillion over the last 45 years or some just obscene number, a massive redistribution of wealth. You come out of this pandemic, another massive redistribution of wealth, and yet we don't hear that
right.
so much.
Exactly. And it there's a recent study that showed what CEOs get paid almost 400 in 2021. They got 399 times as much as the average worker, and just from 1978 to now, that's gone up 1460%. It's just, you know, it's the haves versus the have-nots right now, and we see that in all aspects of life. You got that Brett Favre with the haves screwing over folks down in Mississippi. You got just, it's happening everywhere.
That's crazy. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with J.D. Scholten, advisor at the American Economic Liberties Project, also a writer of your Probably Getting Screwed newsletter. You can check out his work, screwed.substack.com. Also running for state house here in Iowa. I hope folks will take a look at his website. What's your campaign website?
Scholten, Scholten, Foriowa, scholtenforiowa.com.
And we'll make sure we get links out on social media and how you can take a look at that. So the question then, you know, as you're out there talking with people and as you're focusing on this issue, do you think people are getting it? I mean, because, you know, part of the premise of what we're talking about is, I go back to 2016 and I think Donald Trump hit something very important. And I use my family as the example. They didn't vote. They were never voters. They were never people engaged in the political process. They were complainers, mm-hmm, but never voters. He made them get out to vote. Yeah, they're racist. They're homophobic. They're misogynistic because of the generation they grew up in. I'm not justifying it. I'm not. It just is what it is. But what propelled them to vote, to register and actually vote, was that he sold them on the idea that he was going to recreate that prosperity of the past. He was going to bring those union jobs back that afforded them a lifestyle that they haven't had since they went away. And I think, again, take the message, take the blind squirrel finding the nut and use it.
Right. Right. And I see that all throughout here. It's, to me, I think so much of politics of the past few years, it's not so much left versus right. It's who's voting versus who's not voting. And what I see around town and across the state of Iowa is, like, when I stop at a gas station and talk to the cashier, more likely than not, they're not voting. And I'm like, you're the type of person who needs to be voting, because do you want a better wage? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm fighting to raise the minimum wage. I mean, that's bare minimum. That would help you and raise your minimum wage. I'm like, would you like better health care? And they're like, we don't even have health insurance. I'm like, I'm for universal health care, because for that reason right there, and to get
locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover. We are your home for News Talk and Sports, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Minneapolis to battle for the Axe. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To the community was a big part of that.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, to me, that's like, I harp on Dollar General all the time because I think they're...
As you should.
They're the perfect example of what's wrong with our economy, where their workers are getting $8-$9 an hour. Oftentimes are working in unsafe conditions because there's one person for the whole store.
Yep.
And here, even though you're in the second most agriculture producing district in America, they don't sell fresh produce or fresh meat, and they're undercutting local groceries. So now people are having to travel 40 minutes to go grocery shopping that one time a week or what have you. And then on all of that, the money you spend there doesn't stay in the community. So other than maybe property tax, I don't see a benefit for what they do in this state or across this nation.
But this is one of those things where true conservatives, and I try to reach out to my friends who may still be true conservatives, because I think they've really screwed up what a conservative is. But true conservatives would agree with you. We want competition. Remember when we used to talk about competition?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we used to talk about, you know, the marketplace and you know, more people in it, more competition, that being a good thing? Mm-hmm. You know, the quote-unquote free market? What we've got now is a monopolistic market where, like you've pointed out, you've got a handful of companies that dominate. And not only do they dominate the industries, they again, I don't want to use the word collude because people may get upset by that, but they coordinate each other, because it's interesting how all the gas stations have about the same, you know, cost of gas, same cost for whatever they're selling. It seems interesting how there really isn't that competition on price that we're told is supposed to be there, especially since only a handful of companies actually control what the prices are.
And that's the same thing, agriculture. We're seeing it in every aspect of agriculture. And now there's been monopoly after monopoly on price fixing lawsuits that are happening in the past few years. And it's just, you know, I've talked a lot about food security is national security. And the pandemic put a spotlight on our supply chain when it comes to our agricultural system. And it's nuts. We're so vulnerable. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be that way. And like, you go to any grocery store and you see the fruits from Honduras or somewhere else. Well, we can grow everything, almost everything here in the United States. And all of that is policy created. I mean, the fact that 60% of the apple juice we consume in the United States comes from concentrate from China. Like, think about the environmental impact on that. Like, it's absurd. We could have...
Yeah, but the argument, JD, to that is, well, we can't find anyone who wants to work on the farms because that's hard work. We can't find people to work in these manufacturing. We can't find people to do the jobs.
Well, everything you eat is pretty much subsidized in some form right now. And so we're choosing these policies. And we got the farm bill coming up in 2023. It's absurd what we're funding. And then they tell us, oh, you should be eating this many vegetables a day. Well, here in Iowa, 90% of the food we consume is imported, and we can grow almost anything. This is one of the bread baskets of the world.
I thought this is where the food comes from.
Yeah, no, we know how to feed animals. That's non-humans, I guess. But that's
So the question is, you know, and I keep coming back, I look at someone like you who, you know, very successful athlete, you know, did very well. why do you want to get in the middle of all this? I mean, you could very easily lead a comfortable life doing anything else but engaging in this. Why is this important?
There was an article somebody sent me a few years ago that changed my life forever. It said, life's not about the pursuit of happiness. It's about the pursuit of meaning. And I've lived a happy life doing other things, but a lot of things happened. The 2016 election was one of those things. I went to visit my grandma, who was pretty much on her deathbed. And the last thing she told me was, you got to take care of the farm. And I live here in Sioux City. Our farm's 3.5 hours away. And we rented out to a family friend, but that hit home. And then I started looking at, oh, what's actually happening in the farm economy right now and how consolidation is it's get bigger, get out. And just one thing led to another. And my grandma meant the world to me. And so here I am, still have that fire burning inside me about, you know, it's about fairness. Just a lot of that, and just, you know, do good, seek justice type of mentality. And so the state house race, I'm running unopposed, so I don't think I can mess that up too much. So I'm really looking forward to going down to the state capitol and raising some hell and trying to do the best I can to represent my part of Sioux City.
And helping working people and helping make better lives. For me, the North Star is always, how do we make people's lives better?
Yeah.
I've said, you know, I'm sure people are tired of hearing it, but I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland. We were where they put the socioeconomic ladder on top of.
Yeah.
I think about that kid growing up in that place where I grew up, the kid living in the same house I grew up in. Does that child have the same opportunities that I've been afforded?
Yeah.
Because I've led a very gifted, very, very blessed life. I'm very happy with what I could have never imagined as a child where I've ended up. But I want that kid to have that opportunity, and I want the policies that helped me. Because I'm not Horatio Alger. I didn't pull myself up by bootstraps. There were plenty of people who gave me a hand, whether it was playing football or it was, you know, education or it was, you know, getting a job or it was, yep, you know, advice. There were lots of people along the way who helped. And I think we need that kind of reminder, that kind of community to move us along. And I'm hopeful in this moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I see the younger generation kind of moving in that direction.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is there's so many factors that are working against us, but you know, in all this darkness in running against, for Congress twice, and we ended up moving the needle 24 points in 2018. Your buddy Richard outperformed me just by a little bit more. You know, it's very frustrating when you give it everything you have and you lose, and seeing the battles out there. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of wins and there's a lot of hope to be had out there. And there's a gentleman who's from across the river in South Sioux City, Nebraska, who's a hero of mine. His name's Frank LaMare. He passed away a couple of years ago, but he was one of the first people I asked, because he was a Native American activist. He had a lot of uphill battles in his life. He had some wins and he had a lot of losses as well. But at the end of the day, he goes, JD, if you want change, you have to get uncomfortable. And once you get uncomfortable, you have to get others uncomfortable. And I mean, I lived out of an RV for 4 years, running for Congress, talking to anybody and everybody, and just zigzagging across Northwest Iowa. And I had a blast, but I got uncomfortable. I went out there and talked to folks, put a lot of my life on hold to do this because I'm passionate about it. And you know, when you get that and you build this movement that's happening, and you know, you're going to have some defeats in all this, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm looking forward to taking what we've built and take it down to the state house and to try and do something pretty powerful.
The elevator pitch on why JD Scholten for state house. I mean, you're running unopposed, but you know,
right.
what's that? What is it that you want people to know?
At the end of the day, I talk about fix, fight, and secure. Fix healthcare. Fight for an economy that works for all of us, and secure our education. Because in the state of Iowa, when I graduated high school, we were first in the nation in education, and now we're not funding it at the capacity we should be. We're not even at inflation marks right now. And the Republicans in the state have attacked teachers. They've attacked public education. And that's the one thing. It's on our state quarter, foundation in education. So those are the three things. Fix, fight, and secure.
That sounds like a good bumper sticker, and it's something that Democrats don't do at all, which is why, can we clone you? Can we move you around to a bunch of different places? Because that's the message. This is what I want all Democrats to be talking about. These are the issues that are really important. And again, these are the kitchen table issues that I think are so important for people across the spectrum. But JD, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Always.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. A four-day ceasefire in Gaza between Israel and Hamas will begin Friday morning, a day later than originally planned. Under the deal, dozens of hostages held by militants as well as Palestinians imprisoned by Israel will be released. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with Britain's foreign secretary and spoke about what will happen next.
We'll continue with our war aims.
But the ceasefire could be extended as more hostages are released.
The Niagara Falls Rainbow Bridge has reopened after security concerns yesterday when a fiery car crash killed two people inside the vehicle. Officials say it was not terrorism. Providing holiday meals to those in need is Dr. Gina Frommer, CEO and former client of San Francisco's Glide Foundation.
It means that I'm going to stand and hand another mother and her kids a turkey meal, right? And smile and welcome them with unconditional love. And just be excited that I'm able to do this at a massive scale.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A fugitive is now formally charged for the death of his 12-year-old son, whose decomposing body was found in a home in Milwaukee last month. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filed reckless homicide charges this week against Romuan Moy. No one is sure exactly when Jackery Robinson died or how. Meanwhile, Moy is on the run and there's a warrant out for his arrest. Prosecutors in Wisconsin may Sunday get more time to file sexual assault charges. Republican Senator Andre Jacques is introducing a bill to extend the statute of limitations for sex crimes in Wisconsin from 10 years to 20. Jacques says prosecutors in other states have 20 years to press sexual assault charges. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but stalled in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 12 tonight under clear skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny skies again tomorrow, 31. A dusting of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
What is the meaning behind Movember? It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr. From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio. Guess what? You asked for it, and you got it. The oldest furnace contest is back. Tri-City Services is giving away a free furnace to the winner of the oldest furnace contest. Whoever has the oldest working furnace in the Wisconsin Rapids area will win a free furnace. Yes, a free furnace. What are the rules, you ask? Well, entrants must own and reside in their home in the Wisconsin Rapids area. The furnace must be functional and the main heat source for your house. Pretty easy. So take a picture of that old dinosaur furnace and enter online at calltricity.com. Contest ends November 30th, so hurry. Enter your dinosaur furnace in the oldest furnace contest at Tri-City Services. Restrictions apply. Enter online at calltricity.com before November 30th. You're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City
Services. Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
They're doing it so that workers benefit in this. And that's the important part of this. We're going to make these investments, but we're going to make lives better as well. Here to share some thoughts on, well, how we make lives better and the work that he does here in Sioux City, Iowa. I've asked Ernie Colt to come talk with us. He's a business representative with the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters. You can check out their website, ncsrrcc.org. Don't worry about that. We'll get links out on social media how you can check that out. Ernie, thanks for taking time for us.
You bet, Rick. Good to be with you.
What a beautiful city. We've enjoyed our time here, and you know the people here at the CWA Hall have been fabulous. Just a great environment. Tell me, share some thoughts on the environment here, the city that you call home.
Sioux City, Woodbury County. It's a great place to live, great place to grow. I've got 13 grandkids going to Sioux City Public Schools. It's just it's big enough. We have everything, but it's still small enough to really have some successful teaching going on in the schools. I'm really proud of the Sioux City school system.
Well, that's rare to hear in this day and age, because normally what we hear is those greedy teachers, they're indoctrinating our children.
You know, we've got some great school teachers here in Sioux City, and always supportive of those teachers and what they do. And you know, today's world, it's a whole different animal out there teaching kids.
Yeah.
So we're definitely supportive of them.
I got three kids. I can't keep them in line myself. I can't imagine, 20, 30, 40. And we were in Detroit not too long ago. I had a teacher tell me they had 50 kids in a kindergarten class.
Right.
I don't know how you do it. I don't even know how the kids trip over each other, if there's even enough room to trip and fall over each other. But here, this is like a lot of communities that people call home, have the infrastructure, have their family here, but some have fallen on hard times, Ernie. And I think in this moment we're in our politics, the anger, the frustration, I think it comes back down to the struggle that workers feel, because for 40 years we've been cheated, wages have been taken, benefits have diminished, and we're just coming out of a pandemic that with the inflation that's hurting people. And then having people blamed for the inflation when we know it's our corporate masters who do this. I think there's a moment where we have to start talking to each other and coming back to some common sense.
Absolutely. I agree. The median income for Woodbury County is just above $31,000. And so there's definitely room for improvement there. I think some of the things that the state has done overall to take kind of control of the counties and the cities and what they can do is hurting the cities and counties overall.
Now let's talk about the investments, because I've been talking to people here and you go, look, this area's it's struggling a little bit, and I think you said it during the break, things aren't all rosy and wonderful here. There are some struggles. And the question then becomes, how do we move in that direction? Now, as I understand, this was once a very thriving area, right?
It was. We used to be called Little Chicago. Had a lot of things going on, and it seems like we've been shrinking ever since about the early 60s, early, you know, late 60s, right in there.
And why is that?
I haven't been able to pinpoint it, Rick. I often wonder what we could do. You know, I see cities to the north, cities to the south expanding, growing, and Sioux City just kind of stays stagnant. I don't.
Now, is it a policy issue? Is it you know, business issue? Is it your fault as a labor leader because you're tyrannical? You know, what seems to be the focus of what you got?
You know, I think too much around here, and I'll speak on construction. You know, state law has lowest bid, lowest responsible, responsive bidder, and for whatever reason, the responsible, responsive part is never defined or checked out, and we always go with the lowest bid, which means it's not always good. You don't always get the quality work that you want, and you don't usually end up with the price that they give you in the beginning of the project.
No, you look at the perfect example, and I always talk about the tale of two bridges. You've got the Tappan Zee out in New York that was built with a project labor agreement, all prevailing wage work, all union work. It was done on time, under budget, you know, all of that stuff, and a quality job, and done, actually done. And then I look at the bridge in Oakland, the Bay Bridge there, which was not done under a project labor agreement, wasn't, you know, focused on union labor. In fact, from what I understand, they actually brought Chinese welders in to do some of the work on the Chinese steel that was defective, and it was over budget, way over time, and it's never going to be finished. They're never going to finish that bridge entirely because, well, foundationally, you know, it's not right.
Right, and that's what you get. That's lowest bid. You know, that the old president made some changes to some rules about independent contractors and being able to classify workers as independent contractors more easily. And that sure did help them get through some of the red tape, but it causes a lot of problems because what happens is a subcontractor will hire another subcontractor. That subcontractor will go to the state, get a registration to be a contractor, and then he'll start hiring his friends, his buddies. He'll start bringing workers from other states. We call them labor brokers. And a lot of times, most cases, those workers don't realize that they're not covered by workman's comp. They're not paying into the unemployment insurance. They're not having federal and state taxes deducted from their pay. Sometimes they get paid cash. Sometimes they get paid check. Sometimes they don't get paid at all. And that's kind of where I come in to play. Kind of keep an eye on those workers and make sure that they are covered with workman's comp. It's a very important issue with me to be safe on projects. And then we just do whatever we can to help the other workers and help them to realize there is a better way to go about this. And it comes with good pay and good benefits, and that's joining a union.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I remember when I first learned about independent contractors, and they called them subcontractors back then. Right when I got out of high school, I took a job building houses. And it was great. You know, I loved the work. I loved, you know, learning new things. But a guy shot a nail in my foot with a nail gun. And the boss is like, well, I don't know what you're going to do. And I'm going, well, you've got workers' comp. He goes, no, you're a subcontractor. You're on your own, buddy. And that was the last day I worked building houses.
Yep. It happens more often than not. And I see it a lot in our industry. And it's something I fight against daily. I know we need to change some laws at the state level. I work a lot with local government. We try to pass responsible contractor language. We've been able to do that successfully a couple of times. I've got it passed with the county, and then they had a big project go out and decided that they didn't really want to use that responsible contractor language because they wouldn't get the lowest price.
Right.
Now, they don't care so much about the best quality. They just want the lowest price.
No, and that's an important part of this. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Ernie Colt. Ernie's a business representative with the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters, NCSRCC.org, the website. We'll get links out on social media. You can check out the work that they do, especially if you're here in the Sioux City, Iowa area. Now, again, there is that transient part of this, what we know is where states that don't have prevailing wage laws, they generally lose their skilled workforce, and you end up having to bring people in from out of the area, and they're generally the lowest paid, most exploitable workers possible, and the kind of work they leave behind generally is not the greatest. And I've said a bunch of times in this program that if someone's building the school that my kid's going to go to, I want the person who put the roof on to have his kid sitting right next to mine so that they do the best job that they can do, not some fly-by-night contractor who's just going to get the contract done, fill his pockets, and leave. And I think most people believe that how it should be, right?
Correct.
The question is why isn't this front and foremost in our policy discussions? Why are these things not things that we debate and discuss when we talk about all this other nonsense that fills our political discussions? Why isn't this front and center? And there is the right answer.
It puzzles me too, Rick. I don't understand. And it's all about the dollar. It's all about getting it done the cheapest. That's all I can figure out.
But is it the cheapest? And I go back to my Tale of Two Bridges scenario. That bridge in New York was done on time, under budget. And the people who did those jobs made good, solid union wages with good benefits and health security and retirement security and safe working conditions and all of that. The other one, way over budget, never going to be done. It seems simple to me. It seems like the answer is right there. We've been trained to hate unions and trained to hate workers and their ability to fight for better wages, hours, and conditions. For me, that seems to be the simple answer. Do you agree, disagree?
I agree. I do. I agree. I think there's a stigma that the unions have, and it's getting better. It's been a lot of years of hard work to try and educate people in the community and let them know what's going on. It's still an issue, and we need to get that changed. And I think with President Biden's Infrastructure and Jobs Act, and we don't want to forget the Jobs Act part, because it is going to create a lot of jobs for our building trades workers across the nation, and it's going to open things up and hopefully create a lot more work on other than the infrastructure. Yep. and that's a lot of the work that we're going to try to capture as well.
No, it's important. And one of the things you said to me before when you sat down that I found so important, because often labor is saddled with it. Well, you just care about your members, this narrow self-interest. One of the first things you said is, look, it's not just about my members. It's about all carpenters. It's about all workers that we're fighting for. And I think that's an important distinction to make.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I see workers on projects being taken advantage of, it's in my best interest and everybody's best interest to try and have a conversation with that worker and let him know there is a better way, and we're there to help him find that better way.
Yeah. Now, we've had Marty Walsh, the labor secretary, on the program a number of times over the last several months. And I think, one of the reasons I voted for Joe Biden was Marty Walsh or someone like him in that position. And really, all of the government agencies. The last administration had a person who was in charge of the wage theft division who was accused of wage theft. Right. I don't think I want someone who... I don't want someone in the position of stopping wage theft to have someone who has actual knowledge on how to commit wage theft. I want someone who's going to stop it. And that's why I vote for Joe Biden, because he's going to put people and has put people into places that are going to make lives better. And I think Marty Walsh is one of those guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Marty's made some big changes already. One of the changes is working on misclassification of workers and independent contractors, and he's doing a great job. We've just got a couple more years, before the next election, and we really need to make things happen while he's in office. So looking forward to it.
No, and again, I come back to this wage theft, and the reason I started there is, you know, wage theft, we know you can add up all of the bank robberies, all of the convenience store stick-ups, all of the robberies in this country. You can add them all up and total that up, and it's still 1/10 of what wage theft is.
Right.
I mean, one of the biggest crimes in this country is wage theft, and yet you don't ever see the wage thieves being locked up. Maybe a little slap on the wrist, don't do it again, post a notice, sorry. But we don't perp walk them. We don't put them on the evening news. And I think we should be. And I want an administration who's going to aggressively go after these wage thieves.
Absolutely. Yeah, our state has a $600 million a year issue with tax fraud and wage theft. And that's a lot of money. You know, it happens a lot more than people realize. It's a battle out there every day, Rick.
No, this is why your point about misclassification, this is why this is so important. Because one of the ways that people get cheated is out of you know, unemployment, out of workers' comp. You know, my situation, I had to pay for the hole in my foot myself because, well, I wasn't technically an employee, but yet I was.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
State level.
Now, for me, this is the thing that can unite us. You know, as a country, we seem to be very on polar opposites. Whatever hat you bought in the last election, the red one or the blue one, whichever team shirt you wear or flag you fly, that seems to be where we are, where I think talking about wages, hours, conditions, talking about work, this is where we bring people back together. Because all of our societal problems we've dealt with in the past in the workplace, and we've dealt with it effectively, and we've dealt with it in a way that we've been able to move forward. I think we're at that moment now where labor, we have to figure out how to bring people back together.
Agreed. You know, one of the things I always resort back to is the training that we have. And you start at the top, at the national level, apprenticeships. They're pushing apprenticeships. They get down to the state level, they're pushing apprenticeships. Well, we've had our apprenticeship going for over 100 years now, and we're pretty good at it. And so when these kids come out of high school and they join the apprenticeship and they put forth the effort, they go the 4 years of the apprenticeship, they work their butts off, they work out in the field, they go to class, and then at the end of their apprenticeship, a project will come up and we're overbid. Well, we don't get to work. So it's funny how we want all of our kids to go through these apprenticeships, but yet at the end of the day, we're not going to give them the work because they cost too much. It's silly. It doesn't make sense, and we need to fix that.
No, I'm right there with you. Ernie, I appreciate you taking a little time for us, sharing your thoughts. Keep up the great work. Keep up the fight. Things are going to get better.
They will. They will. Good wages, good benefits. It's a good thing. We need it. I'm going to continue the fight, and we'll get there.
Good stuff. Ernie Colt, I appreciate the time. Ernie Colt, business rep, North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters, NCSRCC.org, the website. We'll get links out on social media. I can take a look at that. Gonna take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people from the talk.
You're listening to the best of The Rick Smith Show. We will be returning on January 3rd.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1877. That was the day that John D. Rockefeller and his company Standard Oil struck a deal with the Pennsylvania Railroad that would cement his monopoly on the nation's oil refineries. In the early 1870s, Rockefeller was building his oil empire out from its center in Cleveland, Ohio. In October of 1877, the nation went through a great upheaval, a popular uprising of 250,000 railroad workers and their allies. The uprising had only ended after a series of bloody skirmishes in rail centers across the country that saw 100 workers killed. The Pennsylvania Railroad had lost $3 million in destroyed property. Recognizing the railroad was in trouble, Rockefeller decided to capitalize on the opportunity. The railroad had just entered into a partnership with one of Rockefeller's competitors, the Empire Transport Company, earlier that year. The strike had weakened both partners. Rockefeller was able to purchase Empire's assets far below their actual value. For example, he purchased an Empire oil refinery in Pennsylvania for $500,000. Within 4 years, that refinery had earned Rockefeller three times that amount. But the most important part of the deal was that Rockefeller could ship his oil on the Pennsylvania Railroad so cheaply that he could drive out his remaining competition. Standard Oil was shipped on rail for 8 cents a barrel. Other companies had to pay more than $1.44. By the 1890s, Rockefeller's refineries handled 90% of the nation's oil. His ruthless efforts to drive out competition made Rockefeller increasingly unpopular with the public and the target of anti-monopoly reformers. In addition, Rockefeller and his company became increasingly notorious for their heavy-handed anti-labor practices, most infamously for the Ludlow Massacre of 1914.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as we finish up our day here in Sioux City, Iowa, and I gotta tell you, we had, this was an amazing place. You know, as we pulled into the lot today, a giant grain silo in the background, the CWA hall right up against it. In fact, when we got out, almost blown across the street. The wind was so bad. And it was one of these scenarios where the guy goes, oh, you know, it's not always this bad. And I was waiting for him to say, no, it's not always this bad. It's usually worse because the wind has been, well, wow. We're traveling in a 31-foot RV, and it is all over the place. Windy. Well, it's flat, so nothing really to stop that. But just a great place. One of the things that I found funny is that the guy said, no, never mind the building. It's laid out a little weird. It's probably not your usual union hall. And I'm like, why is that? He goes, well, it used to be a strip club. And I go, okay, well, you know, we've put it to good use. Organizing workers and helping the community, because now it's where the Democrats are running their campaigns out of. It's where CWA holds their meetings and does their work as well. But what a great place. And just the kind of, you know, true grit kind of feel that you get in the labor community. But, you know, I go back to something that Ernie said a minute ago when we were talking about their apprenticeship programs. And you know, the need for more investment in schools, the need for more vocational training. You know, when I was in school, everyone took a shop class, everyone took the metals class, everyone took a little bit of, because that was what a well-rounded education was part of. Being able to pick up a hammer, everyone should know how to do it. Being able to turn a wrench, being able to do a couple of things, everyone should do. And sadly, over these past years, that has gone away from the schools, and unions have been forced out because, you know, they're obviously not doing the kind of vo-tech that they're doing now. Now there's a need, a want. There are people going, hey, you know what? Maybe it wasn't such a great idea to not invest in the trades. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea to say everyone has to go to college, because, well, we need massive investments in infrastructure. And in fact, we've got a president who got a bill passed that's going to provide some pretty significant investment in the future of our country. And, well, you know, we need people to do it. And what I found interesting in some of the conversations we've had today is labor has turned into one of the biggest advocates for immigration reform. Because as they were pointing out, you know, these contractors are using undocumented workers and, you know, kind of, you know, sneaking them around because it's profitable. And by having an immigration policy that brings those people out of the shadows, gives them the opportunity to get into apprenticeship programs and get jobs and make sure that everyone makes a decent wage, maybe we could solve a couple of problems all at once. Get our infrastructure built, have good, decent wages for people. And oh, by the way, you know, be a decent country, give people hope and opportunity. Just kind of a thought. Love to hear yours, though. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Tell us what you think so far of the
locally grown radio. WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravelle. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The four-day pause in the fighting in Gaza, which begins Friday morning, will set off a flurry of